unto all.
And to your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist St. Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
At that time there came to Jesus a certain man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. At that time, when Jesus had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give."
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. There's something about Jesus that begs for emulation. When you know Jesus, and you know him well, you want to emulate him. It's something, I'd say winsome is the word that I have about his person, that calls us all to be like him and to want to be like him. As God is perfect yet humble life, with all its mystical, miraculous healings, both physical and spiritual, entered into this broken world and changed things for the better. He changed things for the better eternally in the souls of those that came to him for his salvation. Our gospel today talks about saints, Cosmas and Damian. They're referred to as the saints of the day, and this gospel is for them. And these saints also call us to this attractive power of God in a special and a direct manner. And there's one clear command given in the gospel for the saints today. It's given to us all. This was the command that guided the lives of the holy unmercenary physicians, Cosmas and Damian, and so many other Christians throughout the centuries. The command was, freely you have received, freely give. Cosmas and Damian took these words to heart. It's amazing how a few words of Jesus can change your life. I think of the one that was written about in the words of the story, the life of a pilgrim. He goes about saying the Jesus prayer and finally got the Jesus prayer.
What?
The way of the pilgrim. Sorry, I've read it several times. I couldn't remember the book. The way of the pilgrim. The man was sitting in church one day and heard the words simply this from the Apostle Paul. Pray without ceasing. It changed his life. His life was turned upside down by this simple command. Pray without ceasing. And he went out to find what that was. And so it is with the saints today, Cosmas and Damian. They heard the words, freely you have received, freely give. Simple words. But they were words that they came to live by. In their life, they took their gift of healing very seriously. God gifted his physicians with the healing gift of power, both over physical diseases and spiritual diseases. And they went through their life healing many people with a pledge between themselves as two brothers that they'd never take anything in payment for their services, for what they'd freely received. And so it was that they lived their entire life without once taking payment for anything that they gave out regarding their healings that they did of soul and body. Yeah. Freely they received, freely they gave. In our epistle today for the saints, it may be a little odd for you to read about the body of Christ, but I think that it's a good place to start when we study our gospel passage of freely giving and freely receiving. For the Lord teaches us through the Apostle Paul's passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that every single person is given spiritual gifts if we're believers. In the body of Christ, there's all sorts of gifts. And the gifts are many. And they're listed actually in priority. The gift of apostleship was the first gift. And then there was prophets and there was teachers and so on down the list in priority. Nonetheless, all gifts were important. But it's interesting about our great saints today, the Cosmas and Damian weren't given the apostolic gift, or prophets, or thirdly, the teachers even. Their gift was a relatively low down the ranking of gifts, healing gift. But it's interesting because they applied this gift the right way. And so we're greatly, greatly blessed because in this passage of gifting, the Lord teaches us to seek, yes, the great spiritual gifts, but more so to seek to have love. For long after all the applications of the gifts will cease, in eternity love will remain. And so God points us to this great passage of love after the passage of gifts to tell us, to teach us that having a gift is a good thing, but having a gift that we use in love is a great thing. And this is what these holy brothers did. Hearing the words of the Lord, they received a gift of healing. And they went out and they gave out this gift. I think it's important in the context of gifts to understand something. When Jesus says, freely you have been given, freely you've received, he's teaching us that what we received from him, what we received by his love for us, is a gift. What that spiritual gift is that you might have is one that you're called upon, just as you received that particular gift. If you're an apostle or a preacher or a teacher, or you have healings or mercies or governments or whatever your gift might be, if it's from God, it's to be given out the same way you received it, freely. And so these brothers understood this truth, that having been given a gift by God, it was to be given out the same way they received it, freely. They used that gift in love to God and love to man, freely. And so we come to our little gospel passage today. Very short, 4 verses, but it says a lot. Every single word of God is important. It's precious.
The Lord teaches in this gospel that he sent his 12 forth to go forth into the world. And he says, go not when you go in the way of the Gentiles and the Samaritans, cities enter not. He's teaching us thereby that the Gentiles were those that are deemed to be the heretics. Don't go to the heretics with your gift, your spiritual gift, your preaching. He says, first go to the nation of Israel, the house of Israel. He says, don't go to the Samaritans. The Samaritans represent those who separated themselves from the nation of Israel back in the days of Rehoboam. We remember that the golden calves were set up to keep people from coming to Jerusalem in Samaria, to cut off the Samaritans from the Jews. And so, as we go to preach, we're given this command from the Lord. The apostles are taught, go forth, preach, not to the Gentiles, not to the Samaritans, but primarily, first, to the lost sheep of the house of God, the kingdom of God, represented by the house of Israel. If you're going to serve God, and you're going to use your gift, first you have to go. Remember, he says here, go. Go rather, he says. And as you go, he gives some commands. There's a need for us, having been given a gift by God, to go, to move, to act, to take what God's given to us and go out and put it to use. I'm reminded of the parable of the talents. Need we say more? The one man who took his talent and buried it in the ground is castigated severely, while those that went out and used their talent were blessed. And so it is that God commands us to go out of the world with our gift. And while we're going about, we're supposed to, first of all of us, I think, preach the kingdom of God. Preaching can be done in a lot of different ways. There's verbal preaching. There's preaching of love. There's preaching of healing. And there's just a comforting word. But God calls us to go out, to go, to act, to move. And go out and say, he says, saying, say the kingdom of God is at hand. The gospel is important. It's important for people to know that the gospel is there. That Jesus is close. That salvation is at hand. And that salvation can be had in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting how he pairs that verse as he says, go out and say the kingdom of God is at hand. That right after that he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils.
Good.
As the kingdom of God is preached and it's taught, and as it goes forth, these are the kind of things that happen. Healings occur. Devils are cast out. Good triumphs. Evil is subjugated. The lepers are cleansed, those with sins. Those that are dead in sins are risen to new life. Devils are cast out. Great things attend to the speaking and the preaching and to the living of the kingdom of God. And after it's all said and done, he culminates this gospel passage by simply saying this, that as you go, you've been given a gift. Whatever your particular gift might be, Christian, if it came from God, here's your command. Freely you've received, freely give. While you're going about your life, you need to be exercising your gifts. Whatever your age, whatever your sex, whatever your color, whatever your nationality, if you're a Christian, you're a believer, you have a gift, God wants you to exercise it. You need to go out and with your life and with your words and with your actions preach the kingdom of God that is attainable and shown by your actions. You need to take healing seriously. The spiritual and physical illnesses of the world around you are appalling. If you let that sink in, God says, let it sink in and then respond freely as you've received. I think we need to understand the word freely in two senses. We're asked to give, we're commanded to give freely as we've received. But what does that mean? I think first, obviously, it means, and it was interpreted by the two brothers, Cosmas and Damian, to mean that we give without compensation coming back to us. There's no charge for our services. There's no cost associated, no payment required. And that's the way we give. We give without expecting compensation, and indeed without accepting compensation. Freely means we give it out, and we don't expect something to come back. But I also think there's a second meaning, and the brothers exemplified this also. This is the understanding of the word in a special, particular sense that we give forth liberally, generously, without respect to the measure. In short, we need to give, as we spoke about last week, abundantly, bountifully, sacrificially, even necessarily, totally of ourselves and our resources. This is the kind of free giving that God calls us to. He says, child of God, I gave to you freely in the same way. I demanded no compensation. There was nothing you could do to save yourself. I came down. It was my blood that saved you. It was my sacrifice, my love, my bridging the gap, my resurrection. I saved you. I freely saved you. You come to me by faith, and then by your love, you show forth good works. I saved you freely, but also I saved you generously. I gave you gifts. I gave you many blessings. And I set you forth to go forth and do as I have done to you. I gave to you without compensation being required. It wasn't expected. And I also gave to you greatly. Giving like this is so unlike the world. It's so unexpected. It's otherworldly. It's above nature. It's supernatural. It's supernatural in such a way that people that receive it see that. Those that were healed by Cosmas and Damian, those that we heal by our words and by our love, those that Jesus touches understand that something special is happening. Not only because they're not required to pay back, but because it's so abundant what happens, the change in their life. This brings to other people, this brings them a spiritual as well as a bodily healing when we meet the needs of those around us. When we give as Jesus gave to us, and as freely as Cosmas and Damian did, we begin to see tremendous results in the lives of those that we touch. Ultimately, I'd say it's an incredibly effective evangelical lifestyle to give freely as Jesus gave. There's such great power in it because when somebody receives this type of giving, they know it's supernatural. It's not contrived. It's incredibly difficult to give like Jesus gave for us, selfish sinners that we are. But God can give us the power if we see what he's done for us. If we can recognize how freely he gave to us in both the aspects of without compensation and bountifully, then can't we do the same? Can't we understand that our giving needs to be from the heart? It can't be just intellectual. People can see through that. No one's turned to Christ by phony giving. But by free giving, an incredible evangelical event occurs in people's lives when they see it. Giving like this for its own sake is a truly great thing as it spreads abroad God's love. But we have to remember something. We're commanded to do this. He says, simply this, a statement. Freely you've received, freely give. It's not optional. We're commanded to give this way. And it's truly, as Jesus gave to us, it's an evangelical calling. Can we see that? Can we see that what Jesus gave to us, when he showed us his love, his person, his grandeur, his divinity, that changed us. And so it is when we go out and do the same, freely giving as we freely received, liberally, bountifully, from the heart, without compensation, the same things occur in other people's lives. My brothers and sisters, we're ready to embark next week on the journey through the great fast of Nativity. At Nativity, we celebrate God's giving to us. And I think it's a great time to think about our journey to Nativity and a celebration of God's great gift that we remember and we can be inspired by what the Lord gave to us. And how the great saints, Cosmas and Damian, recognized his gift, his bounty, his love, and passed it on to others in the same manner that they received it. May we become worthy of emulation and show forth ourselves, our own lives, this winsome nature of Christ, who gave so freely to us. Might we imitate him, as did Cosmas and Damian, and thereby bring glory to him and to his name and to his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.